for today. We thank you because you are real, God. We pray now that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to you. Have your way, God, in both the preaching and the receiving of your word, that your word will find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm sure all of you at one time or another have used the GPS system. I was riding down, I believe it's Richmond Avenue, and looked over to what used to be the Key Map store. How many of y'all remember the Key Map? One of the first things I had to do when I got to Houston in 1994 was to go buy a Key Map so I could find my way around. One of the great old souls of our church, Sister Gladys Marie Lucas, took me on one occasion to go visit her sister, who was in a nursing facility, and I had no idea how she got there. Now, you got to remember, Gladys Marie Lucas grew up in Houston before there was a 288, arguably before there was a 45 or 59. And so there was nothing that looked like a highway the way she took me. She was bobbing and weaving left and right, up and down. And all right, Pastor, we here. And I'm like, we didn't take the highway. I don't take them highways. Well, now, of course, we have GPS, right? And you know how you do GPS. You either talk to Siri and she loads it in, or you type in the address and the GPS will give you step-by-step directions. Turn left, go straight, exit in a half mile, tell you the exit number, etc. And most of the time, we trust it. Most of the time. But how many of you have ever gotten directions and you was like, oh, no, these are wrong? Come on, anybody ever said that, right? You're like, oh, no, there's a better way to get there. My son and I were just riding someplace, and he put it in the GPS, and he said, all right, Pop, make a right turn here. I said, oh, no, don't make no right turn here. We got to go up to the next street, make a quick right, and then a left, and we'll be right. He said, all right, never mind. Because at that point, I didn't trust the GPS. In that moment, I had to make a decision. Here's the decision I had to make. Was I going to follow the directions of the GPS, or was I going to go the way that I thought was a better way to go? See, here's what I've learned. The truth is, sometimes you don't ignore GPS because it's wrong. Listen, you ignore it because it doesn't match what you want to do. Are you all hearing me? Instead of following the direction, you decide to override the direction, the system. You reroute, you detour in your mind. You take control, not because you thought it was wrong, but because you thought you knew a better way. By the way, I was right when I told my son the way we should go. But here's the truth of the matter. That's how many people treat God. See, God has already spoken. God has already given direction. God has already made his will clear. But when his direction doesn't align with your desires, when his directions don't align with what you want, you override him, you delay him, you adjust his word to fit your will. And then when life gets off track, you start questioning God. When the real issue was never his direction, the real issue was your disobedience, because you thought you knew a better way than God. And that's why this matters, because you cannot say God is great and then live like his word is optional. You cannot declare his sovereignty and then ignore his instructions. You cannot sing he's a great God and then treat him like he's a substandard being. His voice should never be a suggestion to you. His voice should be a command. So today I want to conclude the message we started on last week, talk to you about how to live great because he's the great God. How to live great because he's the great God. And our text today is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Last week, we talked about the danger of having a tiny God mentality. But today we're going to deal with what it really looks like to live like he's a great God. See, I believe when you see him right, you don't just acknowledge him, you have to obey him. When you see God as great, you don't argue with him, you align with him. You don't question his worth, you worship him and his glory. You don't squeeze him into your life and try to fit him in. You surrender your life to him. Because our text today reminds us that our God is not like any other God. He is the great God. Our text today is in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses' farewell address to Israel. They are on the edge of promise. Moses gets an opportunity to look from the mountaintop and see the promised land. He doesn't get a chance to go in because of his own disobedience to God, but he sees where the people of God can go if they just obey the Lord. They've come out of Egypt, a land filled with multiple gods, idol worship, and cultural confusion. And here they are on the doorsteps of going into the promised land, a land filled with pagan practices, false deities, and competing loyalties. And so here is Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 10, not issuing for them and beginning with strategy on how to get into the promised land, but he begins with theology to teach them who is going to get them into the promised land. And my brothers and sisters, I might need to put a nickel in the meter and stop there for a moment, because there's so many times in life we are more concerned about our strategy than our theology. We're not wondering where God is, questioning our commitment to God, renewing our commitment to God. We come up with our own strategy on how to get where we hope God wants us to be. Moses says, "The Lord your God is the God of gods." I shared with you on last week that word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the English translation, signifies the Hebrew word Yahweh, the tetragrammaton, the one who was in the beginning before the beginning began. It is the supreme name of God, the unspeakable name of God. The vowels were added later on to form the word Yahweh. But this was the YWH, the Yahweh, that is the one who was before all else was. YHWH. And so basically here's what Moses says. You can't compare him, because if you compare him, you reduce him. And if you reduce him, you might be in danger of trying to replace him. You got to let God be the God he is really. Just in the form of review, last week, point one, I shared with you, you must recognize his supremacy. You must recognize his supremacy, that he is the God of gods, that his position is exclusive, his power is eternal, and his presence is everywhere. Second thing I shared with you on last week is that he is one who must have his authority respected. Number two, you must respect his authority. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says he's the Lord of lords. He's not just the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. And I shared with you last week, A, his rule is sovereign. B, his word is supreme. And C, his will is final. There was a man who went to the doctor for a serious condition. The doctor examined him, ran tests, and then sat him down and said, "You're going to be fine, but only if you follow these instructions." He gave the man a clear plan. Take this medication, change your diet, exercise regularly. The man nodded the whole time, and he said at the end of the conversation with the doctor, he understood. He said, I trust you, and I believe you know what you're doing. But when the man got home, he didn't take the medicine, he didn't change his eating, and he didn't follow the plan. A few weeks later, his condition got worse, and he went back to the doctor. The doctor didn't change the diagnosis. He questioned his obedience. Because the issue wasn't that he didn't hear the doctor. The issue was he didn't do what the doctor said. And my brothers and my sisters, let me just share this with you. Write this down somewhere. Obedience to God is the evidence that you trust him. Obedience to God is the evidence that you trust him. Disobedience is a clear clarion call that you do not trust what God has said. That's why you've got to learn how to obey God even when it contradicts your comfort. That's why you've got to submit your decisions, your relationships, and your lifestyle to him. Let's get to part two of this message today, how to live great because he's the great God. If you have your outline, say amen. Here's the first thing I want you to see in part two. Number one, you must rely on his power. You've got to rely on his power. If you are going to live great because he's the great God, you must rely on his power. Look at the B part of verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 10. The great, the mighty, and the awesome God. This speaks of his strength, his ability, and his unmatched power. He says, you've got to understand who you're talking to and who you talk about when you talk about your God. He is the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Look at A. His strength is limitless. His strength is limitless. He is the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. Jeremiah 32, 17 says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. God wants you to understand that his greatness is manifested in the fact that there's nothing too hard for God. Even when it doesn't make sense to you, you may not see a way, you may not feel a way. That doesn't mean God can't make a way. I need somebody to hear me today, because there's somebody in here right now. Listen to me carefully. Thank you, Lord. You have come in and you're dealing with what some may deem to be a hopeless situation. And I need you to understand that you will be always hopeless when you focus on people who are helpless. But when you learn how to place your hope in the God whose power is limitless, he is the unlimited God. And the writer says, nothing is too hard for God. But watch B. His supply is abundant. His supply is abundant. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read it together. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. According to the power, what power? The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that works within us. He says, God is able to do far more abundantly than you can ask or think. Think of whatever you can ask and think, and God says, I'm on the other side of that. And you say, well, let me go a little bit further. God says, go a little bit further in what you can ask or think, and I can go further than that. God, I can't see a way. Now God would say, because you can't see a way, you're just getting to the place where I can see a way without your help. He says, we've got to learn how to see the abundance of God. And let's be honest, y'all. We get to our lowest place when we get to the end of what we can do and what we can see. And what makes sense to us. And God says, That's part of the problem, because your life is rooted and grounded and based on what you can see, what you can understand, what you can make sense of, the resources that you have, instead of trusting me, because I'm able to be far more than you can. Here's the C. His salvation is complete. Hebrews 7:25. Let's read it together. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Listen to me carefully. He is able to save those who come to God through him. He's strong when you're weak. He's able when you're exhausted. He's sufficient when you are empty. When you get to the end of your rope, that's when God starts extending the rope. That's when God provides you with an alternative to what you're dealing with and what you're going through in life. That's why the text says he is the great God. Listen, when a child is walking with their parent, they don't fear what's ahead like they would if they were walking alone, because they trust the presence and the power of the hand they're holding. My brothers and my sisters, God wants you to let him hold your hand and to trust him that he is going to lead you and guide you in the way that you need to go. Think about David for a minute. Standing before Goliath, Goliath had size, strength, and experience. David had a sling, some stones, and faith in a great God. And I need you to understand, boy, I'm going to talk about this in the coming weeks. It really wasn't as much as an upset as people would portray, because David learned and understood he couldn't fight Goliath's fight Goliath's way. He understood that he was trained to fight a certain way, and he had to fight the way that he was trained and then trust God for the results. All I'm trying to get you to see today is you've got to stop relying on your own strength. You've got to learn how to trust God in situations you can't control, and you've got to pray with expectation, not hesitation. See, what overwhelms you is nothing for God. Your faith should be great because God is great. And when you know God is great, you stop looking at how big your problem is and you start looking at how big your God is. Here's the second thing, part two. You not only must rely on his power, but number two, you must reflect his character. You must reflect his character. For the Lord your God, verse 17, is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. Who should be our example for living? Who should be our goal? Who should direct us? Somebody made the statement, and it was a preacher pastor who was talking about working. And they were saying to him, "Pastor, you know, you need to take a rest. And you work too hard. 7 days a week, you're going at it. You know, every day of the month, you need to rest." And he said, "I can't take a day off." He said, "The devil doesn't take a day off." And somebody said, "Pastor, when did the devil become your role model?" Some of y'all will get that when you get to 288. God, look at the last part of that verse, who is not partial and takes no bribe. This reveals God's justice, integrity, holiness, and his character. If he is the great God and you are going to be a great people who serve the great God, then his character must become the goal for your character. You must live so much like him. We talk about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that you walk like him, talk like him, respond like him, and sound like him, to the point that when people interact with you, they get you confused with Jesus. One of the great impersonators of our day is Jamie Foxx, right? Jamie Foxx, you saw him play Ray Charles, and Quincy Jones said when he watched the movie, Jamie Foxx was so much like Ray Charles, and Quincy knew Ray when he was a teenager, when they were both playing in Seattle, Washington. Quincy Jones said that Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles so well that there were times he was watching the movie and he forgot he was watching Jamie Foxx. He thought he was looking at Ray Charles. Can you imagine somebody saying when they watch you live and they hear you talk, that they get so confused by how you live that they think they're looking at Jesus? Now, you know, some of us, listen, especially when we lose our cool and we get a little upset, we let folk know, look, I ain't Jesus. Right? I ain't Jesus. No. Jesus may put hands on you. Don't let me put these hands on you. I ain't Jesus. But that's not something we should brag about, y'all. We should be doing our best, because it is when we act like him, listen carefully, that we allow people to see him who may have never seen him before. For people who interact with you who may not ever get into the church, the best image of Jesus they will ever get is how you act and how you live. So watch what he says. Look at A. You must learn to be fair. You got to learn to be fair. James chapter 2, verse 1. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? Right? We walk by the person who's looking kind of disheveled, but we run over to the person who's got $1,000 worth of clothes on. You understand what I'm saying? Right? He says, no. There's no favoritism. There's no partiality that we should show. Look at B. You must live justly. You've got to live justly as a child of God. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read it together. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That's a great checklist to go through every morning. Ask the Lord to help you to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. How many of you would your lives look completely, radically different if those three mantras guided how you interacted with people on tomorrow? Do justice, love kindness or mercy, and walk humbly. Here's the third thing. See, you must live holy. You must live holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read it together. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. You can't serve God and live a hypocritical life. Now, here is what I need you to understand, because none of us are sinless. We are prayerfully being sanctified progressively by the Holy Spirit, so we sin less. But none of us are sinless. But here's what he wants you to understand. Hypocrisy is not the presence of sin as much as it is you pretending like you have no sin. And you're presenting an image that is not reality behind the facade. When you look at Hollywood lots where they shoot movies and television shows, and it looks like there's a full city there, but the majority of those buildings are not real buildings, they're just facades. They are built to look like a building, but they really are not a building. They just present themselves like they're a building. And that word for hypocrisy literally says presenting yourself to be something that you are really not. We should all be a work in progress, but we should all be making progress as a work in progress. I wish somebody would say amen in here. You can't represent righteousness and practice unrighteousness because he's a great God. And so people who never read the Bible will read your life. A little boy was at school and he was asked, what is God like? What is God like? The little boy thought for a moment and said, God is like my daddy. Now, for some people, that's a beautiful statement. But for other people, that's a painful statement. Because if people learn who God is based on what they see in us, then the question becomes, what kind of God are we showing them? In a home where a father is abusive, he is not loving, he is not kind, he is not concerned, he is not providing, he is not protecting, that's not the kind of image of God we want people to have. Instead of saying, God is like my daddy, the little boy should be able to say, my daddy is like God. And my brothers and sisters, that should be our testimony today, because he is the great God and we want to be a great people for the great God, then we should be like him. A seminary professor held up a coin and asked his class, what do you see? They said, a coin. Then he moved it closer to his eye until it blocked everything else. And he asked again, what do you see now? And they said, nothing but the coin. And he said, the problem is not the size of the coin, it's how close you hold it. Then he said, that's how many people treat their problems. A lot of times you can't see God because you got your problems so close to you that your problems block your view of God. God gets smaller when you let your problems get too close to you. Because the closer your problem gets, the bigger your problem appears and the smaller your God appears, if you can see God at all. So I want to encourage somebody today to live with integrity. Represent Christ in every space. Treat people fairly and reflect God's holiness in your daily life. Why? Because he is the great God. And because he is the great God, you should live in a great way. Have I got a witness here? See, my brothers and sisters, it really doesn't matter who we are. What matters is who God is. And if you're going to live great because he's the great God, you need to realize you don't serve a limited God. You don't serve a struggling God. You don't serve a weak God. You don't serve a tiny God. You serve the great God. Can anybody say amen to me? Listen, he is greater than your past. He's greater than your pain. He's greater than your problems. He's greater than your pressures. He's greater than your possibilities. He's a great God, I tell you. He's greater than your mistakes. He's greater than your missteps. He's greater than your mistakes. He's greater than your hurts. He's greater than your bad habits. He's greater than your hang-ups. He's a great God. He's greater than your fear. He's greater than your failures. He's greater than your frustrations. He's greater than your shortcomings. He's greater than your struggle. He's greater than your situation. And he's greater than your sin. I said he's a great God. And because he's a great God, he's greatly to be praised. He really is the great God. Your faith, because he's great, should be greater. Your obedience should be greater. Your praise should be greater. Your surrender to him should be greater. Your commitment to him should be greater. Because when you know he's a great God, you don't live casual, you live committed. You don't follow halfway, you follow all the way. You don't just attend church, you become the church. You walk great. You talk great. You live great because we serve the great God. And he's an awesome ruler, gentle redeemer, Alpha and Omega, greater than anybody else. He's from beginning to end. He is the great God. And that's why we sing nobody greater. Nobody greater than him. Nobody greater. And because he's great, God challenges all of us to be great because we represent him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, God. And I pray, God, that it has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. We bless you, we love you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, everybody who can, give the Lord a hand of praise. I know we just sang it last week, but how many of you know sometimes a song doesn't even get good till you get to it the third or fourth time? When I'm listening to a song at home, I put it on repeat, and I may listen to it five or six times because I want to get that thing in my spirit. You know what I mean? I want to learn the words. And so let's sing a little bit of Nobody Greater today. We sang it last week. That means you got good rehearsal on last week. So you should be ready today. If you're here today, listen to me carefully, and you've never asked the Lord into your life, I want you to know he's a great God. He is the great God. And he can do great and marvelous things in your life. Now, he can't do it without your permission and your participation. But if you're struggling today, if you're walking in here today and God has allowed you to realize you've been in a tiny God kind of place and you've been feeling the need to help God out when God really wants you to get out of the way, you've been wrestling with some things and you've been ready to throw in the towel and God says, I need you to trust me. I need you to trust that I can do what no other power can do. If you're listening today, I want you to come right now. If you're looking for a church home, come on and come. If you're looking to ask the Lord to become your Savior, come on and come. Those of you who are watching on the digital platform, wherever you are in the world, there's a QR code on the screen. It's a fast track, fast link. It'll get you right there so you can click the appropriate space. How to ask Jesus Christ into my life. How to become part of my church family, how to go to God in prayer, and we welcome you to use that QR code, whether you're in the house or wherever you are in the world. We're going to sing, we're going to worship, and as we worship, I'm going to give you an opportunity to walk today and come and say yes to God. Come on.
I climbed up to the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody.
Come on, searched all over. Come on, everybody.
Searched all over.
Went down to the deepest valley. I'm sorry.
All around down there, couldn't find nobody.
Come on, I went across.
I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
Come on, somebody, you've been looking. You've been searching in your life.
I searched all over, couldn't find nobody.
Come on, search high and low.
High and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
Come on, if you know the words, come on, sing it. Searched all over, come on.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody.
I need somebody who can testify. I looked high and low,
still couldn't find nobody.
Anybody, can you raise your hand and say there's nobody greater?
Nobody greater, nobody greater than you.
Come on, nobody can heal.
Nobody can heal
like you. you can.
Like you can.
Oh, most holy one.
Oh, most holy
you
one.
Are.
You are the great I am.
Awesome in all your ways.
Awesome in all your ways. And mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Come on and come if you're here right now.
You are he who carried out redemption's plan. See, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great. Nobody great. Nobody greater than you.
Come on, searched all over, come on.
I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Come on, Rod.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
Come on, sing it to the Lord today. Come on, everybody, sing it to the Lord today. I searched all over.
Searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Oh, nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you.
Listen. One of the great places to be in life is to come to that place of realization that there's nobody greater than God. I got one or two people here who understand what I'm saying, because you get to a place where all the pressure is off of you. You stop trying to be God and you start learning how to let God be God. And you learn how to release, how to turn things over. Now, let me be honest. We normally don't get to that place until we can't do anything else. Right? It's like after you tried everything and everybody and you've gone everywhere and you've called and you've tried to figure it out. When you get to the place that you recognize, you know what, ain't nothing I can do. I've done everything I can do. And you say, okay, God, you know what? I'm just going to trust you. And it's amazing the peace that comes over your life. Come on, have I got 10 witnesses in here? I'll make 11 who can raise your hand and say, no, there's no peace like that. No peace like that. I don't care what's going on around you. No peace like that. And somebody here can say, because of your grace, because of your mercy, I'm where I am right now. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
You may not be able to sing, so just say it to God today. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you, Lord.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater.
Nobody,
Nobody greater, Lord. Nobody
greater than you.
I searched all over.
Searched all over.
Couldn't find nobody.
I looked high and low.
Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Lord.
Nobody greater than you.
Mm-hmm. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. Looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater.
Those words are going to stay with you this week, because some situations going to come up and you're going to have to remind yourself there's nobody greater than this situation but God. Stretch your hands out. Let's pray for our brother. God, we come now lifting up our brother, Lord, and we don't know all that's going on, Lord, but we know you do, and we were just reminded that there's nobody greater than you. So we pray right now, Lord, in the name of the Father, that you bless him, whatever issues are around, Lord, that you clear the way, that you make it all right for right now, Lord. Take care of him. Take care of his issues, Lord. We thank you that he came up. We thank you, Lord, that he reaches out to you, and we pray right now in the strong name of Jesus that you meet his needs according to your will and glory. Thank you for this word today, Lord. Thank you for reminding us afresh that you are God. You are a great God, and we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, you may be seated. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but that song been in my head all week. Yeah, even when we sung it last Sunday, still singing it. Amen, amen.